Welcome to the Nifty Podcast, presented by Partyfish Media, a showcase of the best emerging filmmakers under the age of 25 from all over the world. Film starts here at Nifty 2022 in Seattle, Washington. My name is Amy Williams, and I am the director of programming for the festival this year, and I am with a very special guest, one of my programmer's picks. Annika, would you like to introduce yourself and tell us about your film?
Yeah, I'm Annika Chavez. I'm originally from Claremont, California. My film is Bolognese, and it was in the From the Heart block, and it just screened on Friday night.
Nice. How did that go?
It was amazing. Yeah. I was really nervous.
Why were you so nervous?
I hadn't
Have you seen it with a crowd.
With
an audience?
No.
Okay, cool.
No, it was the first time, and it's also my first film festival ever.
Oh, well, welcome.
It's all new. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. So I was nervous, but it was really cool to hear the laughs and the reactions, and it was really special.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah. So in the heart, or from the heart screening, it's a romance-ish
yeah,
totally. Kind of film. Where did the story come from? What inspired it?
It was something that I lived. So, you know, it's obviously there's some parts that are fictionalized, some parts that are pretty close to it, but it happened, and I went home and I just kind of like vomited it on a huge sketchbook. Like, I just wrote it all down. It was like 9 pages of just sketch paper with words, and then Sophie and I made it into a structure.
Nice.
So, yeah.
And what you're the lead in it as well.
Yeah.
What was it like both co-directing and acting in it at the same time?
It was honestly, I feel really lucky because it was seamless. Sarah, my co-director, and I were on the same page about nearly everything. And when we weren't, it was a good conversation that needed to be had. So I had complete trust in her. And then I've been acting since I was 6. So I felt very comfortable. And honestly, directing on set allowed me to not think so much about my acting, so I just had to go into it, and I loved that. And then Grady, my co-star, was amazing and just so kind, and it was just a good energy all the way around, so it just was seamless, honestly.
Nice. I do want to talk about Grady.
Yeah, let's talk about Grady.
He's
the best.
You guys have ridiculous chemistry.
Yeah.
It is palpable. Have you worked together before? Is this your first time? Did you just meet him on this project?
Our producer, Shannon Delajani, brought him to my attention. Yeah, so I had just met him. It was just so comfortable. We're both people who kind of like can get comfortable quite quickly. And yeah, I mean, everything physically, it was so easy. It was so easy.
So the character on the page, what were you kind of looking for when you did go into that casting process before you had him?
Yeah, that's actually interesting, because I haven't really talked about that, but initially looking for someone who was exactly like the person, Grady's not at all. Grady is, in fact, kind of opposite to the person, and just provided something special in the audition that had to do with chemistry, that had to do with, you know, I loved how he surprised me with his performance, you know, and his comfortability. Yeah, I just... It was unexpected, which was cool.
Yeah.
Because I was so like, oh, I have to find someone exactly like...
And did him not being as similar as you expected for the casting make it easier for you to like fictionalize and separate yourself from your lived experience?
Honestly, yeah. I hadn't even thought, but completely thinking about that now, yeah. Felt like a totally different thing. I mean, like filming the sex scene was definitely emotional, but just because I was getting rejected over and over and over again, that just, you know. So, but yeah, he brought something new, and he was so improvisational on set, because I'm really big about improvisation, and so he even like the guitar part. He picked up the guitar on set.
I laughed out loud at that cut. That
yeah.
is a brilliant cut.
Yeah, Kirsten's here. Kirsten, our editor's here. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. I will tell her. Yeah.
Please spread the love, because it's It's, you know, I love this film. Yeah. I love this film a lot. I'm actually really curious kind of the evolution that the script took from, because you mentioned that you do like a lot of improv. It's like, how did it evolve, if much, from like what was on paper in the first draft to what the film is now?
Right. I mean, it took probably like, I mean, Sophie and I wrote the first script, and stepped away from it for a couple of months and just let it sit there after we finished the first iteration of it. And so it had a lot of time to cook. And, you know, there are some lines that are verbatim what happens and what happened. And the fictionalized parts are more what got developed, I think. And in terms of what was real, it was a matter of taking out the details. There were so many little intricate, like I wrote down everything after this event, everything, every detail. And I wanted all of it, of course, but like, there's no way. It would have been a 3-hour film. but yeah, so there was evolution in taking out things, picking the things that served the story and served the overall purpose of the message, the message. That's what we had to keep thinking about.
When were you writing this? I'm really curious if this was pre or post pandemic that you were writing this.
We met. It was a meeting on a dating app.
During the pandemic.
During the pandemic, right at the start of it.
Because I was, honestly, I was standing in the shower this morning thinking about this interview and thinking about this conversation, and I was like, I'm just assuming that this was made in the pandemic.
Yes.
And I was like,
yes, it was.
What? I'm like, if it's not, there's a whole new layer I need to bring to this that I think either way, even taking that level out of it, like there's so much beauty in this film.
Thank you.
But having it be that kind of quarantine space.
Yeah.
What, honestly, my favorite thing about this whole film and what I am most like blown away by is just the, and I've written about it and I have talked about it, just how empathetic and easily the tone shifts back and forth throughout.
Yeah.
Just kind of how you navigated that, what your experience was with that, how much of that was like pre-planned or how much was in like the cutting room and
the emotional shifts of it. I mean, it was just true to life. It was an incredibly confusing situation, and so oscillating between humor and being really hurt and feeling really strong actually in the situation, like, oh, I have space for another person. Seeing him as, oh my gosh, he's just this humiliated person on a couch. I just want to give him a hug. You know, like, it just felt natural situationally, and it was just reflected in the film in that way.
There's a piece of this character, your character in the film, that I find with the level of the like pandemic context, when you're making the decision to stay the night, it's like this like mutual need and desire for intimacy and connection, even though it's no longer sexual. It's no longer like charged with that as it was very well sexually charged throughout the beginning. And just fucking film.
Thank you so much.
All I do is fangirl on these podcasts. I gotta rein it in. Okay. Other questions that I have for you. Editing, you worked with an editor. How involved were you in that process?
Quite involved. I mean, especially towards the end, because I was living in New York and she was in LA, that was kind of difficult. But then towards the end, we sat down together, we hashed it out, we got it all done. I would say quite involved. A very specific sense of comedic timing. And I grew up doing musical theater, so I'm a musical person, and I needed the rhythms of it to be right.
Right.
Yeah.
And God, it's my favorite part of it. I think you really nailed it.
Thank you.
So you did enjoy wearing kind of both hats, the director hat and the performance hat.
Yeah, I did.
And you think that's something you'll do again in the future?
I think so, yeah. I mean, right now I'm you know, more so directing only. Mm-hmm. Acting in separate things that I'm not directing.
Right.
But it's nice to have like a concentrated focus. Although it was very fun. It was cool to know that I can do it.
Mm-hmm. You said you've been performing since you were six?
Yeah.
Where did the filmmaking come in? When did you...
When I was living in New York pre-pandemic, I felt like I was just waiting around for auditions. I was, like, waiting for life to happen to me. You know, you're not... There's so much... You lack control as an actor in so many ways. And we started making our own stuff, but then the pandemic, honestly, kind of... sped it up because all of a sudden I just took to it. I had an interest and it feels so good. Mm. And I directed theater. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I had directing experience. I took a couple classes at USC, like film classes, but I was a theater major. Mm. My background is acting, theater. Yeah.
And how did you know that this was the project for it?
Just the sheer fact that I went and wrote all of that. Mm-hmm. And then it was actually, it started off as, I wrote it as something to tell, so I didn't have to explain it to my friends. Because I'm a person who, I mean, for better or for worse, like, I'll tell all my friends everything. So then I end up telling the story a bunch of times, and then it's like, oh, this feels contrived now. Mm-hmm. So I like wrote it, and I shared it with a bunch of friends so they could see what happened. And, yeah, kind of through encouragement there and talking with Sophie, the co-writer, kind of evolved there.
And who would you consider some of your biggest artistic influences in film that you're kind of, you were pulling inspiration from?
I love Celine Sciamma. Mm-hmm. I love the pace of Portrait of a Lady on Fire. I think it's brilliant. It's, yeah, one of my most watched films. I mean, recently, I love Paolo Sorrentino, although that wasn't really an influence in Bolognese. Also, yeah, I was really into Anna Biller, too, but that not necessarily, like, a influence for this film. Mm-hmm. But those are a couple. Who else do I like? I love Edgar Wright. I love Taika. But, again, my next film. But, yeah, yeah.
I mean, you're welcome to talk about if you... are working on anything now?
Yeah, I'm in post for a comedy that Sophie, the co-writer, wrote, directed, and yeah, it's very different. It's stylized, it's comedic, it's quick, clippy, very different, which was fun to flex that muscle
for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, and then I'm also directing one in May in LA called Bad Jew, Good Girl that my friend wrote and is going to star in. And it's about this girl alone in her apartment on Yom Kippur and all the desires that kind of pass through her mind.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I find it really interesting that the script is so close to your experience that, like...
Yeah.
Because I have a question of, like, was how many, like... iterations did you go through? Was it always so subtle? Was the character always so, like, she's very quiet, very non-reactive in a way, to a situation that someone could easily, I think it was the director's notes write up on your film that kind of sparked this idea that I wanted to ask about, is just like, was there ever a time in which you were like, maybe she should react differently than I did?
No, but the thing that I worried about was, are we making her disappear? That was like what I worried about, because it's shedding a light on the listener, on the quiet one in the situation, on the person who is taking in the stuff that someone else is expelling. Mm-hmm. And because I feel like we usually do, we look at the person with the big problem, who's having that external problem instead of the internal, what, you know, that side of it. So I just always worried, is this like an anti-feminist film? Obviously it's not, you know, it's inherently feminist. Is this, you know, I worried about that sometimes.
Mm-hmm. I would love to hear a little bit about how you met your collaborators and your co-writer and your co-director and your editor and just like how you crewed up this project.
Yeah, Sophie and I and Sarah, we went to USC together. Mm-hmm. So I knew them from there. Sophie and I lived together. And then Jackie worked with Sarah at a coffee shop. That's our DP. And Jackie brought on pretty much everyone else. And then our producer, Shannon, I knew from USC. So it was a lot of USC people, to be honest. And Jackie brought on a lot of people as well.
And what was your experience like shooting your first film in the pandemic? Like, it seems you're very limited on your locations and it's very contained. Like, if you could talk about what set looked like for you guys.
Set was very safe. We made sure everyone felt safe. I had just been boosted, and a couple of us had been initially vaccinated. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so we were feeling like, woo, yeah, like great about it, mm-hmm. actually, but safe and intimate, I guess. It was a small crew. Mm-hmm. It was a small crew, and the intimacy of that felt amazing, too.
I feel like that kind of thing serves the story really well, especially 100%. With only two actors, like just keeping it very self-contained, very intimate.
Yeah, and just the kindest people on that set. It was such a good set.
You could feel it in the film. It's like it's such a kind, empathetic, quiet, from both of them. Like you're clearly, for me as the audience member, I find myself clearly on your character's side and like feeling that kind of resentment and distance from him.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you're still there and I'm still there with you and with that character as he's going through this. And it's like, there's a very interesting dynamic at play in this that I don't think I've seen on screen before that I really, really enjoyed.
Wow, thank you. Yeah, I mean, it was important to me to not paint him as this mm-hmm. caricature or as a villain, because, I mean, the reality of it is, like, you know, I had empathy for this person, mm-hmm. and I think that person's cool. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was just portraying the situation truthfully. Mm-hmm. No one was necessarily even at fault. Right. It just happened.
Yeah. I think you really get that through in
the
film.
Thank you so much.
I would be curious to hear, as your first experience writing and directing and starring in your own project, just what you learned that you've already shot some stuff and worked on some stuff mm-hmm, after this mm-hmm. project. Is there anything that like you took from Bolognese, any lessons or anything that you have applied into the future or know you're going to apply into your future projects?
The importance of building like such a beautiful team, mm-hmm. honestly, just because of how seamless that was. I know every set isn't going to be the same, mm-hmm. but having a team around you that you feel supported by and is key, because I was able to be so vulnerable. Grady was able to mm-hmm. be so vulnerable. Everybody was able to communicate what they needed, everything. Mm-hmm. So that was probably a big one.
You know what I really like? I've had a couple of these conversations and a lot of these conversations with filmmakers this weekend, is a lot of people have that same sentiment of just like, you've got to collaborate, you've got to trust each other, you have to support each other. And I feel like there's almost a shift in what the perception of the industry should be is with this generation of artists. It's very exciting to me that we all just want to respect each other and work well together. And it gives me a lot of hope.
Absolutely.
For the future of the industry.
I just got the chills. Absolutely. Yeah, no, absolutely. And you can feel that in the films. Mm-hmm. I feel like you can feel everyone is so kind and empathetic here, mm-hmm. and just like good. Mm-hmm. Just good hearts. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's really
cool.
Special. I would love to hear about your Nifty experience. How has it been so far?
Oh my gosh, it's been amazing. Yeah, I mean, I'm losing my voice because I've met so many people. I've been talking all day. And just going to movies, going to see movies all day. Mm-hmm. That's ideal. That's mm-hmm. so cool.
Definitely.
It's very inspiring. Yeah, everything I've seen has been good. everything I've seen has been good. And like, that is so cool. Mm-hmm. That is so inspiring to be around that. And yeah, it feels very special. It feels like I'll know these people for a while. Mm-hmm. You know,
oh, the yeah. people I've Once met. You're in, you can't get out.
Yeah, absolutely.
How, so this is on the festival circuit.
Yeah.
Have you had any other festival, physical festival experiences yet or any upcoming?
I haven't had a physical experience yet, but we can't say this till June 1st, but I suppose this will be out far after that. But yeah, we got into Palm Springs Short Fest.
Congratulations. Short Fest,
yeah. Oh, so that'll be exciting.
That'll
so
be
that's
really
next
great.
Month,
yeah.
Or June, sorry.
And
so we're
going
to go to
go?
That. Yeah.
Good.
Because I'll be in LA anyway, so
yeah.
It'll be easy.
Nice.
But haven't heard back from anything else. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Well, Palm Springs, that's
yeah.
that's fantastic. That's that'll so exciting.
Great. Yeah.
I bet they love your film as much as I do. I just find myself speechless over your film, so it's really hard for me to actually ask any questions.
Oh
it's just
God.
Like, especially knowing how much of it is like just the truth is, it just feels so special. Honestly, I was not the first person to screen your film. Another programmer brought it to me and was just like, this is a great film. Let's talk about programming at the festival this year. And I basically stole it from her. I was basically like, you're right, this is the greatest film I've ever seen. I'm gonna program this. It's gonna be my programmer's pick. I'm gonna talk to Annika and do a podcast. Like, I gotta do it.
Wow, thank you. That's so cool.
I'm really glad that you have been having a good time here and that you were able to make it out and that this is happening physically.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, Seattle's amazing.
Yeah.
I love it here. We landed. I was like, should I move here?
We will happily take you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Is there anything else in the future that you are like hoping to work on or hoping to get in progress?
I would love to direct TV. I would love to direct a feature. I would love to direct a music video.
Mm.
I would love to. Sometimes I feel like I'm not cool enough. But yeah, I would love to do that. And continue acting as well. But yeah.
And you shot this in LA? It
yeah.
looks like LA.
Yeah, it's LA. It's,
you said you were like, I was living yeah. in New York. I'm like, it looks like Los Angeles.
Yeah, Los Angeles. It was Los Feliz in Santa Monica.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, Sarah's apartment, Sophie's, Sophie's mom's house.
Yeah. Yeah, see, you gotta make it work.
Made it work. Yeah, that was the whole motto of the shoot, was making it work. I mean, it was an incredibly low budget film. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah. So, yeah, a lot of hustling,
mm-hmm.
which was challenging, and I learned a lot probably doing that, the producing side of it.
Yeah, you want to talk about that a little bit?
I mean, you know, just yeah, I felt like my mind was on it 24/7.
Mm-hmm.
24/7 just trying to figure out, where could I get this? How do I troubleshoot this? Oh my gosh. But I think the one I made in January, I was also producing that with just mm-hmm. Sophie and so just the two of us, and I was a lot more chill. Because, like, I knew. Mm-hmm. I had... I mean, I was so inexperienced. I thought it was, like, this huge mountain. I was... Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't know what to expect, necessarily. And, yeah, an invaluable experience, really. Mm-hmm. Truly. Also, like, everyone on set, all like, this festival, like, young,
mm-hmm.
learning. Like, Jackie, the DP, it was her first time with, like, a bigger camera.
Mm-hmm.
Killed it. She absolutely, I mean, yeah. So it was all like a chance to learn too.
Yeah, definitely.
Which
together.
Together, which was an incredible thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. And, you mentioned this was like a really, really low budget.
Yeah.
What was the financing kind of fund down there? Is this like a passion project or did y'all try to crowdfund it all?
No. Like I just, out of my savings. Mm. Yeah. So I just funded it myself. But yeah, that's it.
I mean, yeah, that's what a lot of
that's why I work
do.
As an SAT teacher on the side.
Wow, that's
yeah.
impressive.
Oh,
I think
that's
great. That's amazing. I think it's a definitely a I was talking to another filmmaker about this earlier this weekend. It's just like that's now something that you can point to.
Mm-hmm.
That you've got, you invested in yourself, your time, your career to do it. And let me tell you, I'll be the one to validate you all day long. It's incredible. It is an incredible piece.
Thank
I love
you.
It so much.
Thank you so much.
Okay, I will stop. I'm annoying.
No, you're not.
Please. I will shower you in compliments all day long. This film changed my life. I've been thinking about it for ages. Since I watched it for the first time in like January. So it's fine. It's great. Where can people find you, Annika? And keep up with your work.
You can find me at Annika E. Chavez. That's at Annika E. Chavez. That's Instagram, by the way. That's it.
Okay, cool.
Or you could call me.
Yeah, great. I love it. Just call out your number right now. Anybody interested in talking to you further?
No, I meant like you can shout my name out. You can call me.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
call
yeah.
my name out.
Great, cool. Yeah. There you go. I love it. Thank you so much for chatting with me.
Thank you.
I'm sorry that I showered you in so many
times. Why are you sorry? Oh my gosh. No, it's amazing. Are you kidding me? I'm flattered. Utterly flattered.
Good. Thanks for listening. For more information on Nifty 2022 or upcoming events, a talented youth, and more emerging filmmakers, check out nifty.org or find us on Facebook and Twitter at NFFTY or on Instagram and TikTok at Nifty Film. For more podcasts from Party Fish Media, search Party Fish Media wherever you listen to podcasts or check out our website at partyfish.media.
Party Fish Media acknowledges that it operates and records on Indigenous Duwamish and Puget Sound Coast Salish land that is still home to the Duwamish tribe. This land is stolen in violation of the Point Elliott Treaty of 1855. We are committed to uplifting the name of these lands and community members from these nations who reside alongside us. For more information on this land, its people, or ways you can help, visit duwamishtribe.org or realrentduwamish.org.